wherever you are, wherever you are, and whenever it is, you are catching some brain waves coming to you from the banks of the dashing and balmy St. Vrain River in almost always sunny Longmont, Colorado. I'm Becky Peters, and across the table is the co-host who is real-life friends with Craig from Craigslist. He's Ben Call. Ben, what's good?
It is all good, Becky. It's actually Tom from MySpace that I'm actual friends with, not Craig.
Oh, yeah. That's way less impressive. Okay, sorry.
It's all good. Well, as the famed poet of our time, Rivers Cuomo, says, it feels like summer. And I'm feeling insanely fortunate to have the opportunity to bring giants in education to the earbuds of my favorite people, busy teachers, and I cannot wait for you all to listen to this compilation episode, because in this episode, we bring the best advice about how to make the most of your summer from the giants in education who we've talked to, and so we can't wait for that. But before we do that, I need to kind of share the origin story of why we were inspired to make this episode. Really, it all comes down to our inspiration for this episode, DoorDash. And not in a good way. DoorDash will never be a sponsor of this show because DoorDash ruined my date night. Let me tell you how. So my wife, my beautiful wife, and I had all three kids peacefully asleep by 6:30, and we were so excited for the night of having good food, a good show, and we just couldn't wait to hang out together. And so we sat down on the couch, and our friends had just told us about this magical app called DoorDash, which brings every restaurant within an hour driving radius to your fingertips, and you can order anything off the menu of any of those restaurants. And at the time, it sounded amazing. Like, what? We can eat from anywhere. Well, we sat down to order, and it took us 2 hours to finally make a decision. Every single restaurant has these awesome pictures, and we're clicking in and going back and forth, and we could not make a decision. We had complete decision paralysis because there were so many different options for us to choose from. And after 2 hours, we finally ended up going with Applebee's. And really, we probably would have been a lot happier had we just thrown ramen noodles on the stovetop and watched a movie. Decision fatigue is a real thing. That's why Steve Jobs just had one outfit that he would wear to work, so he didn't have to make a decision all the time. And this same thing happens to teachers at the start of summer break, that you have so many things that you want to do that when you sit down to plan, you just have decision paralysis. And so this episode is hopefully going to help with that. Does decision paralysis ever happen or sound familiar to you, Becky?
Yes, like literally all the time. Greg and I tried DoorDash once and it was horrible. Like the exact same thing. We could not decide, and it takes forever. We have the same thing with Netflix or like watching movies where it'll take us so long to just settle in and pick something. Yeah, it happens to me all the time. So especially for something that you've kind of built up in your mind. So the goal of this episode is to share with you, the listeners, the advice that we, Ben and I, are trying to channel through our minds as we plan out our summer that we've learned from the giants we've had in education on the show. So we've taken advice from those giant guests, from our rockstar listeners too, compiled some of that advice that we plan on using to make the most of our time off. And if you have 3 months or just a week, whatever time you do have off, we hope that this is helpful. And please realize that as we are sharing this advice, it's mostly like positive self-talk for us. We haven't fully arrived and we do not do these things perfectly. We're still practicing, but we want to make our summer planning visible to you. So Ben, can you start us off?
I would love to. Yeah. So my first piece of advice is every single day of my summer, I hope has some physical exercise. And we threw this question out on Twitter. We said, how do you make the most of a summer day as a teacher? And Courtney Adams, Tanisha Lucero, several other followers came back and said every day, they hope to go for a long walk. And I used to think that physical exercise was just something that I would do because of the vanity of it. I wanted to look good. But I have since found out that physical exercise is probably the most important thing you can do for your brain. After summer break in the fall, we're going to release an interview with Dr. John Medina, who wrote Brain Rules, and he talks about the science and benefits of movement on our brain. If we look at history, some of the best thinkers have actually also been the best movers. Friedrich Nietzsche famously would do 8-hour long walks and has a cool quote that says, never trust a thought that didn't come as a result of a walk. Jean-Jacques Rousseau was famous for his walks as well and said, when I stop, I cease to think. My mind only works with my legs. And recently, in our interview last episode with Doris Kearns Goodwin, author of Leadership in Turbulent Times, she talks about how movement was so important to the mind development of some of our most famous presidents. Abraham Lincoln did 6-mile walks to return overpayment when he was kind of like a cashier. He did an 8-mile walk to a neighboring town just to get a book. Teddy Roosevelt described himself as a sickly young boy, and then he turned himself into the ultimate alpha rough rider by taking up boxing, taking up weightlifting. And so we look at just some of the most famous thinkers and how movement impacted their brain. And so this summer, I hope to move and I hope you move. And I know it's way easier to say that into a podcast microphone rather than actually do it. I came across some awesome quotes about motivation. I read this amazing blog post that we'll link in the show notes by a guy named Benjamin Hardy. I think he's the most famous blogger on Medium now. One of the things he says in that is that your behavior drives your motivation. You need Herculean motivation to go for an 8-mile walk. Start going for a walk and you'll be motivated. You don't sit around and wait to get motivated. You start acting and motivation comes. One of the cool quotes in that Medium article is that you're more likely to act yourself into feeling than feeling yourself into action. So what a powerful truth for us to live at this summer. Let us act ourselves into feeling, but also how cool is that to share that truth with your students that you act yourself into feeling?
Oh, that's beautiful. I really like that. Yeah, that blog post you sent it to me the other day, I will definitely link it in show notes. It's so good. It's got a number of really beautiful things that I want to spend some time with this summer. But like when you're talking about it, it kind of reminds me of that fake it till you make it quote. But I like this better, act yourself into feeling rather than feeling yourself into action, because it's just a great way to reframe it. And I'll also add Robin Jackson, who, remember when we went to ASCD, I went to go see her, and she spent a little bit of her talk on how your habits, how first you make your habits and then your habits make you, which is kind of like the same thing. She gave a really cool example. She said that her and her sister were quitting sugar at the same time. And she said when her family offered her sugar, she would say, "Oh, no, thanks. I'm trying to quit sugar right now." And her sister, who was doing the same thing, would say, "No, thanks. I don't eat sugar." And that simple like shift in self-talk can really make or break your own initiative. Like, "Oh yeah, I am an athlete. I am this, I am that." But, and even Dan Willingham, he was just out here doing a keynote for us for Camp Empowered. And he said, never rely on willpower when you can make a plan to avoid it, which I think is also really, really important, because relying on willpower isn't reliable. That's usually where we'll falter in our plan. So back to what you were saying, that something I really want to work on myself by acting myself into feeling is by not being, or just not being constantly distracted. One of my favorite interviews this year, because it pushed me personally the most, I think, was with Cal Newport when we talked to him about digital minimalism. I devoured that book. It was one of my favorite reads of the year. If you liked that episode, please pick up the book. There's so much wisdom in there about how to be present. But my whole life, I've had a bad habit of not living my life as I live it. I'm constantly thinking about something I just said last week or last meeting, or I'm ruminating about something in the future, which I really think contributes to my memory issues. I'm going to bring up Dan Willingham again. He said, memory is the residue of thought. Then I think that's kind of why I probably don't remember things in meetings as much or while I'm reading, because I'm constantly thinking about other things. So I want to heed Cal Newport's advice about trying that 30-day digital detox. But in the back of my mind, I couldn't really convince myself to do it before because I was afraid I would miss a work notification. So at least for the week while I'm on vacation with my family at the lake, I'm going to try it that week. Leave my phone at the door, do a full detox that I can more intentionally insert those apps and things that I truly miss or need back into my routine with purpose and intention. Because that's what it's all about. Also, to be totally vulnerable, I had like a super bad moment of weakness with this last week. 4 days ago, I downloaded a super addicting game that had like awesome reviews on the App Store just because I was like looking for something to do because I was bored. And I downloaded it four days ago. I've spent 2 hours and 46 minutes on it over the last 4 days. Mm. Is that disgusting?
Yeah.
It's one of those like you just can't stop. So I know mindless games are fine sometimes. I get it. But That 2 hours and 46 minutes over 4 days, that's a lot of time taking away from me reading, being with my family. So I just deleted it from my phone. I hope you're super proud of me, but I'm going to try to do that with more things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And his book and our interview with him really changed my life for the time that I practiced what it said. I deleted social media from my phone, and recently I've relapsed pretty bad, and Facebook was back on my phone, and I noticed, and I bet you people around me noticed an actual difference in my mood. It wasn't happy, and that's not in a judgy way. Maybe you can use these apps and stuff on your phone without it impacting your mood, but it definitely impacted mine. And I know over the course of my life, I've probably spent months of time on Facebook and really have nothing to show for that time, which kind of brings me to my next piece of advice that's running through my head as I plan my summer, and that's Dan Heath. And it's all about just making memories and being really intentional about breaking the script. And in his book, Power of Moments, he talks about how we remember moments a lot more than we remember just everyday life. And so this is my 12th summer as an educator. And the bulk of those summer days, I don't really remember, probably because I just spent a lot of time on my phone and doing things that aren't memorable. And so this summer with my family and friends, I hope to be really intentional about breaking the script. And beware the soul-sucking force of reasonableness is another thing that's going through my mind and trying to avoid that.
Thanks for bringing that back to my memory. I think about that one a lot. The other one I've been kind of thinking about right now and that's running through my mind is I want to love reading the most. Do you remember when we talked to Dan Willingham and he was talking about that watermelon versus ice cream conundrum? Like if he gave his kids watermelon after dinner, they'd be psyched to have that as dessert. But if you put that next to ice cream, they'd obviously pick the ice cream. So for me, for what that means for my summer is like if you put reading a book on the patio, you know, with coffee, enjoying the breeze, that sounds amazing. But then I could also turn on the air conditioning and slip under a blanket and binge watch a show for 7 hours. You put those two things in front of me on a summer afternoon, especially if I had a long morning of making decisions, guess which one I'm going to pick. So I'm going to make a plan. Some days I'm going to make it okay for myself to choose that. Maybe one day this summer, because I do have a lot of Netflix to catch up on. But the other days I'm not going to give myself the option. Like I'll go to a coffee shop or to a park or to the mountains and to read there instead of staying at my house, which again goes back to the whole choice theme. We're actually most creative and successful when we limit our own options or have them limited in some capacity for us. But why reading? So I really want to value that. Cornelius Minor said that his limitations as a coach were rooted in his inability to do the things that he was asking of his athletes. So I think about that a lot with respect to could our inability to inspire kids sometimes to love reading be rooted in us not loving reading the most ourselves? And I'm asking that really to myself. I'm not trying to, you know, cast judgment. I know everybody's busy and reading takes a lot of time, but literally just 20 minutes a day could really, I mean, you could get through like 30 books in a year if you read 20 minutes a day. And again, I want to remember behavior drives motivation. First, you make your habits, then your habits make you. So the best way that I'm going to motivate myself to read is to read more. So definitely go on Twitter for some suggestions or use some of your allotted screen time on Goodreads to look at friends' reviews of books or spend one of the days at the library, maybe instead of at home. Where watching TV, temptation doesn't really exist. And also reading has been shown to increase empathy. And I can't count the number of times we've talked about empathy on this show. So we're not going to have a specific audio clip for that, but it's kind of an undercurrent theme for everything. So there are a million reasons why reading should be a priority. So whether it's like a guilty pleasure read that you read on a Kindle so no one sees the cover of the book, or a 500-page tome that an administrator gave to you 2 years ago that you still haven't opened yet, let's get reading together. I'll share what I'm reading right now. For fiction, I'm reading The Road. It's one of my friend's favorite books, and she wanted me to read it. So I'm not super far yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm also almost done with The Art of Gathering, which has some amazing ideas for how to bring people together. And then I have a bad habit of reading 3 books at a time. I'm reading Stop Talking, Start Influencing, which I'm loving and is teaching me a ton. So I'll link those all in show notes if you want to check them out. Are you reading anything right now, Ben?
Yeah, one of my favorite principals, friend of the pod, Dr. Karen Musick, is retiring and let me get at her bookshelf. And so I had first pass at her bookshelf. So I have a ginormous stack next to me that I'm really excited about. And I just started Spark, the Revolutionary New Science of Exercise in the Brain, and hoping nice. To get that author on the show and bring some of that learning to y'all as well. So listeners, you just heard what Becky and I have running through our brains as we try to make this the best summer ever. But our real question is, what are you going to do? We want to hear from you. What are you going to do to make this a rejuvenating and motivating summer? We'd be overjoyed if you could tweet us at Brainwaves, or even better, would you call in and leave us an audio message? You could tell us what are you reading, how you're growing, what you're learning, or ask us any question that we could answer in a future episode. If we get enough of these audio messages sent in, we will do a special bonus end of June, beginning of July episode. Feel free to tweet us those audio messages, email them to us, or call into our tip line at 720-900-1741. 720-900-1741.
So thank you so much for listening. It's been an amazing school year, and we feel incredibly fortunate if we've played even the tiniest part in making your year a great one. We are going to take a couple weeks off as we try to practice some of the advice that we just shared with you and get ourselves ready for next year. And we hope you have a great and non-generic summer.